Priam,
of the dear wife,
Prabhu,
the Lord,
Ramya,
ordinary living entity,
Eva,
in the manner of
Priya,
just to please,
Viditsu,
wishing,
Achat,
brought about,
Jutarum,
the Parijata tree, flower tree,
Yat,
for which,
Arte,
in the matter of,
Vajri,
Indra,
the
king of heaven,
Adravatam,
went forward
to fight with him,
Saganaha,
with full strength,
Rusha,
in anger,
Andaha,
blind,
Pridamrigaha,
ten pecked,
Nunam,
of course,
Ayam,
this,
Budunam,
of the wives.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijata tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight with him. Purport. It's on the board, you can read it. Anyone else who wants Tamil translation, it's over there. Can you hear at the back? If you can't hear, you would not have said yes. Yeah, who is that? I can't see. Someone's sitting at the door there. Is that Raja? Someone's sitting at the door. I can't see. Okay. The Lord once went to the heavenly planet to present an earring to Aditi, the mother of the demigods, and his wife Satyabhama also went with him. There is a special flowering tree called the Parijata, which grows only in the heavenly planet. And Satyabhama wanted this tree, just to please his wife like an ordinary husband. The Lord brought back the tree, and this enraged Vajri, or the controller of the thunderbolt, Lord Indra. Indra's wives inspired him to run after the Lord to fight. And Indra, because he was a henpecked husband, and also a fool, listened to them, and dared to fight with Krishna. He was a fool on this occasion because he forgot that everything belongs to Krishna. There was no fault on the part of the Lord, even though he took away the tree from the heavenly kingdom. But because Indra was henpecked, dominated by his beautiful wives like Shachi, he became a fool, just as all persons who are dominated by their wives are generally foolish. Indra thought that Krishna was a henpecked husband who only by the will of his wife, Satyabhama, took away the property of heaven, and therefore he thought that Krishna could be punished. He forgot that the Lord is the proprietor of everything and cannot be henpecked. The Lord is fully independent, and by his will only, he can have hundreds and thousands of wives like Satyabhama. He was not therefore attached to Satyabhama. He was therefore not attached to Satyabhama because she was a beautiful wife, but he was pleased with her devotional service and thus wanted to reciprocate the unalloyed devotion of his devotee. So that's a nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. Explain a little bit about the relationship between husband and wife. A husband is not meant to be henpecked. That doesn't mean, therefore, he doesn't care for his wife. He cares more for his wife than in normal circumstances. A husband who is henpecked is generally subservient to the wife, and that may not be a very good thing at all. Unless the wife is a pure devotee, and he doesn't have to be a pure devotee, and he's controlled by, let's say, inspired by his wife's spiritual enthusiasm. But normally, the husband is supposed to be the leader, the guider, the protector, an inspiration also for his wife. The wife also is an inspiration for the husband, there's no doubt. But in terms of decision making, in terms of they may discuss, but ultimately the husband has to make the decision. That's the normal system. Unfortunately, husbands, wives, often we hear of the disqualification of the wife, but we don't often hear the disqualification of the husband. Unfortunately, 99.9% recurring, the husbands are not qualified. So the situation becomes incompatible to have, like you say, half-chicken philosophy, where the husband imposes the philosophy on the wife but doesn't impose it on himself. It does not work at all. It is adharma. It is sinful behavior. If the husband is not following the duties of a husband, he has no audacity or right to inflict scriptural injunctions on his wife. First duty is in society is the husband, and if he's not following strictly his duties, he is not a worthy husband in proper terminology. We all know that we're not strictly following husband and wife. We're trying to come to that platform. So therefore there has to be some consideration and some understanding. But in a proper situation where the wife is chaste and brought up properly and is not educated by our modern system to ruin her chastity and her female qualities, and the husband is actually properly trained to be a husband and behaves himself properly and protects the wife with love and concern for her spiritual and material welfare, in such a situation, these type of things become realistic. Otherwise it's just pain in the neck. So many times we get that amongst our devotees, one way or both ways, miscommunication, misunderstanding, mistreatment, and so on. We have a duty, our husband belongs to Krishna, our wife belongs to Krishna. We have, as here we see, Indra's thinking this Karigata tree belongs to me. Who does this guy think he is coming here? Hen-pecked guy comes here and steals it from the heavenly planets. He's just an earthling. He's thinking like this, the fool. As we all are, we're all thinking this material belongs to us, and our wives belong to us, and our children belong to us, and our house belongs to us. We're all fools. Complete fools. None of these things belong to us at all. They all belong to Krishna. Krishna has given them to us to serve him, for those, to engage those in Krishna's service. Including our body and our mind. If we think that's mine also, we're even more of a fool. This is the material nature, conditioned life. Everyone's a fool in this world, more or less. And these pastimes and instances just teach us what happens when one has this foolish mentality of Indra, who is henpecked and is attached to Sati and his other wives and his property and his position. Again and again we see this coming up in the Bhagavatam, how Indra is very much attached to his position, his property and everything else. And anyone threatens him, he completely reacts. This is our disease condition in this world. We use scripture to further emphasize that sometimes. You belong to me, do what I say or teach you. Nobody belongs to us. We have to understand what is the people heaven. It belongs to Krishna. How to help engage the person, himself, this person, this thing, that thing in Krishna's service. This we have to find out. We do not know in this material world. We do generally not know how to interpret scriptures even. We again take one thing out of context and make that our absolute rule, even though we don't fit the context. But thus we get a warped society. And with our own self, how to apply the various scripture injunctions to cure our own disease. Sometimes we are not very enthusiastic to do that. Everyone else should take the medicine, but not me. I don't need it. They need it. I don't need it. I'm fine. Prabhupada says in one of his poems that, yes, they're paying their fine. Material life is paying a fine. Just like when you break the law, you have to pay a fine. Is this meant to be happening, or is this some special sound effect? Or somebody is like confirming the statements on some instrument behind the scenes or something? Or is this a fault of modern technology or a fault of my hearing or what is it? Any experts in the field of electronics here can enlighten us? Maybe cure the problem? Never mind, it's not that bad so far. It might get worse if we leave it. Problems get worse if we leave them. Our tendency is to leave the problem, to try to avoid it, deny it. It's not my problem. And then it gets worse and worse and worse until it becomes almost impossible to resolve. Almost impossible. So whether it's dealings amongst husband and wife, or whether it's dealings with their own mind, or whatever it is, if we don't do something about it, it can get worse. We become more and more implicated, entangled, and less Krishna conscious. A stitch, in English we say, a stitch in time saves nine. You heard that?
Yes.
So things should be dealt with. If there's something amiss, we should recognize it, not deny it, not find blame somebody else for it. It's not my problem. It's their problem. It's not my problem. It's my wife's problem. It's not my problem, it's my husband's problem. It's my guru's problem. It's temple's problem. It's Krishna's problem. It's karma's problem. It's Maya. It's Kali Yuga. What can I do? Everyone is a wonderful object to blame. They're all to blame. Everything's to blame, except for me. Everything that exists is to blame. Not me. Not that we'll go overboard blaming ourselves either, but we take responsibility instead for our situation and don't blame anyone else for it. We are responsible. So anyway, back to Satyabhama and the Parijata flower. It's a wonderful pastime. I'm sure most of you have read it. All of you have got this book or a similar version of the Krishna book. Well, those who've got it are saying yes, but that was about five devotees. What about the other 80 or 90 or whatever it is? If you haven't got it, is it available in the shop? That's my question. Yes. Which version? This one. You don't have the hardbound. We're trying to sell this one. There is a fabulous hardbound version out now. Quite cheap. Very cheap. Beautiful. I haven't got it yet. Beautiful. Nectar of Devotion also. Beautiful version. Best small version I've ever seen. And hardbound. And full version. Full Bhagavad Krishna book in one small book. And it was printed in the West somewhere. Or maybe in India. I don't know. Maybe in India. Very good quality printing. And very beautiful. And when you get the chance, you can display it in mass. It's not very expensive. Very nice. This is a great copy for the home. It's not something for Sankirtan. Not something for mass distribution so much. It's paper, compound. But it's still, it's the same thing. So if you haven't got one, Krishna book, it's time to get one. I don't know what day it is today. It's Chinese New Year. Happy New Year. Om Su Fat Chai. It's also Valentine's Day. So make up your loving relationships, husbands and wives, today, okay? And if your wife hasn't got a Krishna book, buy her one. And if your husband hasn't got one, buy him a Krishna book, okay? For each one of you can buy each other a Krishna book, or something. If they've already got one, buy them another book. Something about Krishna. What do you think, Brother Lochan? A good idea? Valentine's Day. You're going to give a gift on Chinese New Year. So best if, or you can give it to a Chinese friend. If you have one in little philosophy, what would you like? Give them a Chinese Bhagavan, a Krishna book or something, not Chinese, but English, I don't think we've got the Chinese one, have we? But give them at least a Krishna book today, or Chinese New Year, Happy New Year. Or if you, you know, if you, it's not that bad, you can give your husband or wife a gift of a book on this day. What a nice way to revive our loving relationships, huh? Isn't it? We're giving and exchanging gifts. Vidati Pati Vinati. We're giving and exchange gifts. This is loving exchange. Yes. About time to do it. About time to start making some loving exchanges. So good.
Today is a good day, very, very good. It's also, I believe, may not be, but it's here, but it's Amavasya on my calendar. Is it Amavasya here? It is. It's a very good day. Dark moon night, right? So important day, some charity today. Some charity. So this, we'll just briefly mention this story of Krishna stealing this parijata tree from the heavens, where Prabhupada says here, only in the heavens do they normally grow. Enormous situation. So, taking it back a little while, and you may know that in the previous pastime, Krishna killed a demon. And the demon's name was Bhaumasura. So Indra had actually, one of the things that Bhaumasura had done, he'd stolen the earrings of Mother Aditi, the mother of Indra. He'd also stolen the umbrella of Varuna in the heavenly planets. This demon Bhaumasura, also known as Narakasura, was a very powerful demon. Even the demigods were afraid of him. Very powerful. And he'd also, as you may know, he had like a harem. He kidnapped thousands upon thousands of girls, princesses, 16,100 in total. He kidnapped them. And he'd taken them to his city of Prantoshipura. And that city was extremely heavily fortified. Very sophisticated fortifications. And many powerful demons were residing there. So Indra appealed to Krishna to do something about this demon. He had also conquered a portion of heaven. And so Indra's kingdom had been conquered by Bhaumasura. So Indra then complained to Krishna. So Krishna, all right, Indra's my devotee. He's not very advanced devotee in one sense. There are two types of devotees, Nishkama and Sakama. Nishkama means those who are serving Krishna, not for any return. They're totally serving Krishna for his pleasure. And the Sakamas, they're devotees, but they're always in want. They're asking Krishna for something of this world. There's Sakama. There's lust mixed in. So Indra is one of those Sakama bhaktas. Of course, he also has to play a role. When somebody appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's not an ordinary person. You don't find a bin Laden in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or Obama, or whatever it may be. They may be powerful now, but they're not really very significant. These persons who appear in the Bhagavatam are, for whatever reason, some significant personalities. So, although Indra is playing the fool many over and over again, he's still a very special person. And sometimes, I'm not saying that in this case, but in some cases, those personalities who play the fool in the pastimes are meant to play the fool, just like Arjuna was meant to play the fool in terms of becoming a fool, as Krishna called him, a fool. You're just a damn fool number one, Krishna said. That was Krishna's first said. Statement. Shoshima and Shoshis from Pragyavada, Srivasa, Sivatasa, Vikasa, Nanushanti. You're just a damn fool, Krishna said. You think you're learning, but you're a fool. Prabhupada used those words, a damn fool, he said. So Arjuna's a fool, but he's not a fool. He takes the role of a fool, like in a drama. Sometimes you play a role in a drama. You may be a demon. You may be the court jester, but that's not your actual position. You're taking a part. So sometimes, Krishna, they take the part, not because, ha ha ha, look at this stupid Indra. I wouldn't do that. You would. Indra's just showing us exactly what we do. This is our mentality. As soon as somebody interferes with my comfort zone, get out of here! Or if we're not strong enough, we'll make some behind the scene gossip plan, this, that, the other. Get rid of them. Find a fault in them. the usual reaction to, let's say, any interference in our comfort zone, our so-called position or property or whatever, sense enjoyment. And that often is a tendency. So Indra is teaching us lessons also, whether he knows it or not, he's an instrument for lessons to be taught. He becomes proud very easily and very, very greedy and lusty sometimes too. He manifests almost all the six enemies that you can think of from time to time. Lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, and madness. Sometimes to show us what the result of doing that is, and what you're supposed to do about it, if you do it, and how to get rid of it. You've got to get rid of this. I haven't got much time. I've got to pack, do my daily worship, and take prasadam. Next to no time. Anyway, we'll read a little bit. The hearing about these pastimes is very, very purifying. It purifies us of those tendencies. It's not just a pastime, Haribol, but it is actually purifies us of that very tendency to be over-possessive, even up to the point where we don't want to give it to Krishna, even although it belongs to him. We still claim it's mine. It's like when Prabhupada was talking with one man one time, who was saying, Indian man, who said, Krishna is a debaucher. Not a butcher, a debaucher. Debaucher. You know what that is? What's a debaucher?
Sorry?
Are you one? A playboy. Ladies know what a playboy is, I think. And we hope your husbands are not one of them. Now they do it on the internet. It's the nastiest, wickedest thing if you put these things out on the internet, so that young people also get completely diseased, disturbed. But this world is full of debauchery. It's illicit sex, or, you know, playful, just trying to enjoy the opposite sex like this. Actually, in the case of men, meditating on others' wives, looking at women with lust. This is terribly sinful. Goes on, it's Kali Yuga. We blame Kali Yuga again. Okay, we're stuck, but we have to do something about it. So hearing sometimes these pastimes is one of the medicinal purposes to cure. So this man asked Prabhupada, said, he challenged Prabhupada, said, this Krishna is a debaucher. Look at him. He marries so many women. He's after other people's wives. Look at this. What type of God is this? He wasn't much of a Vaishnava, this man. And but he was supposed to be a Hindu. So Prabhupada then asked him, tell me one thing, is God the proprietor of everything or not? Of course he is, he said. So if he's the proprietor of everything, then that means he's the proprietor of your wife. The man was a little bit taken aback. It's a contradiction. He's the proprietor of everything, yet he's not the proprietor of my wife. So then the man looked quite and said, Prabhupada then roared and said, so if God is the proprietor of your wife and you think that she belongs to you and that you can enjoy her, then you are the debaucher! Every living entity is a debaucher in that sense. We may be proud, but we're debauchers. Unless we realize this, our wives, everything belongs to Krishna. There will be no peace for Tadamirkama Samsara Lokamanesha. Everything belongs to Krishna. Indra forgot that. So Krishna then went off with Satyabhama and killed his Bhomasura. It's a big fight. Mother Earth, Bhomasura is the son of Earth. And Mother Earth came back with the earrings of Aditi. And the umbrella of Varuna gave them to Krishna. And Krishna then left. He took, the whole thing was, you know, he took Satyabhama because this was all part of getting this Parijata tree. As previously he promised, Narada Muni had brought a Parijata flower for Rukmini previously. So Satyabhama is Radharani. She's like Radharani, very, very jealous. There's different types of loving exchange. One of them is intense jealousy. On the transcendental platform, it's extreme pleasure for Krishna. So she manifests that mood of Radharani, and And she's extremely jealous and short-tempered and, a little envious almost.
She was really disturbed, and meaning not a parage, but a parage. She didn't have a parage out of flower, and she didn't get one. She got really disturbed. So Krishna's trying to satisfy her now. So he's arranged all this pastimes to satisfy his devotees, not to kill the demons so much, but more parajanaya sadhanam, to please the devotees. So he wants to please Satchabhama. So he goes up to the city of Indra to return the earrings of his mother and the kingdom of Nara, which had been captured, back to Indra, and the umbrella of Varuna, back to the heavenly planet. So off they go, and let's see, where are we now? It's a long story. I lost the page now. Remember what page it was? Oh, here it is. There we go. Okay, so after this incident of the killing of Bhumasura, Krishna then sent the 16,100 girls who were captured princesses. He accepted them all, and of course later on he marries them all. He sent them all back to Dwarka, and he went alone with Satchabhama. And he entered Amaravati. Amaravati is the capital city of Indra in the heavens. And they entered the palace of King Indra. And his wife Shachi Devi welcomed them. Krishna then presented Indra with the earrings of Aditi. When Krishna and Satchabhama were returning, so Indra, he went there just to please Indra. The first start off his devotee, although he's a Sakama Bhakta, Krishna still pleasing him. He did what Indra asked for. He killed this demon, he returned this part of the heavens, he brought the earrings of the umbrella, and what more could Indra ask for? So then Krishna then was returning from the capital of Indra. Satchabhama remembered Krishna's promise. Krishna promised her after Rukmini got that flower, just to appease her, otherwise she would have never let him go. Sometimes with loving exchange, Krishna also appears henpeck. So with Satchabhama, sometimes he appears a bit like that. There's another side to the truth there. So he promised Satchabhama that he would get her a parijata tree. So she remembered that now, taking the opportunity of having come to the heavens, that's why Krishna took her with him. She uprooted a parijata tree and placed it on the back of Garuda. She uprooted it. Once Narada was over here, on account of this, Satchabhama developed, because of the parijata flower being given to Rukmini, Satchabhama felt inferior. So she wanted also a flower. Krishna could understand the competitive womanly nature of his co-wives. And he had smiled. He immediately asked Satchabhama, "Why are you asking for only one flower? I would like to give you a whole tree." So in this way, his pastime was predicted. And Sri Krishna had purposely taken his wife with him so that he could collect the parijata with his own hand. But the denizens of the heavens, including Indra, were very irritated. Probably if Krishna were to come here today and take away something which you are attached to, you might get angry. Isn't it? You might also get angry. Imagine if Krishna came and stole your car. "Hey, call the police! Arrest him!" You'll be like Duryodhana and the Kaurava. "Arrest him! Who do you think he is?" But the denizens of heaven were irritated. Without their permission, Satchabhama had uprooted a parijata tree, which is not to be found on the earth planet. Indra, along with other demigods, offered opposition to Krishna and Satchabhama for taking away the tree. But in order to please his favorite wife, Satchabhama, Krishna became determined and adamant. For sometimes we're determined. Now, on the gross platform, he said, no, and Krishna came. I'll give him immediately, of course I would, don't talk like that. But on the subtle platform, Krishna's coming all the time, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and stay over there. We're keeping our attachments over here very, very carefully. Very carefully, don't touch them, they're mine.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna's there, he's come, we called him, but we're not surrendering, we're not giving him our attachments, we're holding on to them. Thus we don't make very much progress. Slow. But Krishna, however, he doesn't give up. He's not going to let us go that easy. So just like here, Indra puts up an objection due to attachment. This is Mani. Now Krishna shows him a good lesson. Not just external. External surrender is easy. Very easy. Literally. I mean, most people find it difficult, but it's actually very easy. But internal, then the challenge begins. Can you hear me? I mean, the ones in front said yes. What about the ones at the back? Yes? Okay. Now then, we'll just finish this chapter and that's it. So Krishna put up a determined and adamant, and so there was a fight between the demigods and Krishna. They all joined in, and they all got carried away. Hey, he's taking from us, this earthling. As usual, Krishna came out victorious. Not much description of that one. He obviously gave him a good whacking. And he triumphantly brought the Parijata tree chosen by his wife to this earth planet, to Dwarka. He didn't even pick it, he let his wife choose it. You know, when you go shopping with your wife, and I'm sure husbands have heard, you can't tell your wife what to buy and what not to buy. She makes the choice when it comes to shopping, what she wants. As women are very expert at shopping. I don't say expert, they love it. And they love it if you've got a big wallet in your pocket. Modern day at least. So Krishna also, whichever one you want, take whichever one. Probably chose the best one, and that made him even more infuriated. Because the story is still the best item. So Krishna became, and there's a big fight. Krishna beat him. A good beating. And then he came back to Dwarka. After this, the tree was installed in the palace garden of Satyabhama. On account of this extraordinary tree, the garden house of Satyabhama became extraordinarily beautiful. As the Parijata tree came down to the earth, the fragrance of its flowers also came down, and the celestial drones of the bees migrated to this earth in search of the fragrance of honey, buzzing around. King Indra's behavior toward Krishna was not appreciated by great sages like Sukadeva Goswami. Out of his causeless mercy, Krishna had gone to the heavens to present King Indra with his mother's earrings, which had been lost from Asura, and Indra had been very glad to receive them. But when a Parijata tree from the heavens was taken by Krishna, Indra fought with him. This was self-interest on the part of Indra. Sometimes that's like that. Somebody does us a lot of good, and in the first instant we beat them. We complain. So I'm sacrificing everything and we find fault. This is a material disease. He had offered his prayer, dipping down his head at the lotus feet of Krishna. But as soon as his purpose had been served, he became a different creature. Similarly, when as soon as we get what we want from God, forget him. Keep him out. No more. I got what I want, don't need him. This is materialistic. This is the way of dealing with materialistic men. Material men are always interested in their own profit. For this purpose, they can offer any kind of respect to anyone, but when their personal interest is over, they are no longer friends. Finish. Sometimes even in family life, when a man works hard all his life, sometimes the family reject him when he gets old. They put him in an old age people's home and things like that. Get rid of him. This selfish nature is found not only among the richer class of men, and on this planet, but even in personalities like Indra and other demigods. Too much wealth makes a man selfish. A selfish man is not prepared to take to Krishna consciousness and is condemned by great devotees like Shukadeva. In other words, possession of too many worldly riches is a disqualification for advancement in Krishna consciousness. You can have them, but they're not yours. to think that this is mine as a big disqualification. After defeating Indra, Krishna arranged to marry the 16,000 girls that he brought back for them. He married those girls, simultaneously married them all. This is another sign that Krishna is obviously a debaucher. He married 16,000 women at the same time. Can you imagine? Even Mr. Moon. You've heard of Mr. Moon? Yes? Not the moon in the sky. The moon in where? Huh? Where? South Korea, Mr. Moon. I saw his son this last year. He was giving a speech in, we were the same program, he was giving a speech in Manila. Quite charismatic. Yes or no? He had four lines. He spoke for 40 minutes and he only said four things. Again and again, over and over again. People there are so gullible. And he just keeps saying, yes or no? Yes or no? I can't hear you. Yes or no? And then he spoke two other lines which were like, you know, take yourself to Jesus and everything is fine or something. Yes or no? Pretty simplistic. But he got them all going. They were all, yeah. How do we get on to that? Mr. Moon. Yes, he marries sometimes thousands of couples. He doesn't marry them himself. He oversees them being married. Thousands of couples at once in big stadiums get married. They're all Moonies. Not the intellectual type Moonies. Moonie in this case means follower of Mr. Moon. Reverend Moon. Kind of Christian sect. So here Krishna's marrying 16,100 girls. They've all been touched by Bhomasura. Even that is considered to be illicit or wrong in many ways. But Krishna, no, he's given them all shelter. They've taken shelter of him. Their previous protector or exploiter is dead. So Krishna has given them shelter. They have nowhere to go. They can't go anywhere. Krishna has given them all shelter. And he's married them all. What type of God is this who marries 16,000 women? Sometimes people criticize, but in the same verse, it states something very interesting. What is that? He married them all simultaneously in 16,100 palaces. Oh, come on. Are you joking? It's proof that it's mythology. Well, if you believe it's mythology, then everything you have to believe that Krishna married 16,000 wives is also mythology, so don't talk about it. It doesn't mean it. You can't say one thing is true and the other thing is not. Either they're both true or they're both wrong. Accept what you like, but don't even think about it if you don't accept it. You can't accept this half chicken philosophy. You know, yes, he married 16,100 wives. But then where did you get that from? You got that from here, from the Bhagavatam. So if you believe that, then you have to believe the next sentence, otherwise you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Believe it or don't believe it, but don't believe half of it. The other sentence in the same verse says he expanded himself 16,100 times. Can you do that? Of course you can. Only God can do that. At the same time, in each and every palace. Are you saying God can't do it? Are you telling me that God cannot do that? There's something he cannot do? Is it right or wrong? And is there something you can do and God can't do? We're just envious of God. We're just envious of God. You'd like to do it. The fact of the matter is you'd like to do it. But you can't, because you're not God. And anyone does it even up to God, you're envious. And you find fault. But God can do anything he likes. Why 16,000? He can marry 16 trillion. He can do anything, everything. He can do anything he likes. That's the quality of God. But unfortunately, fools and rascals cannot appreciate this. So these pastimes, maybe to Krishna, to Tarshi, Piyamana, Babushi, to Chokram, but these pastimes are very purifying. So Tampasanga, Mama Beers, the Vantukarna, Sayanapatada, purifying to our heart and to our ears that we hear them from the right source, Nipita Krishna. Those who have no
material motivation. Those were free of this idea of seeing that God is our proprietor, is our provider. We understand that, but that's not how we see them. Their master, one step further, even more than that. But if we just see him as a provider or as a, you know, someone to satisfy my material needs, such a person cannot understand the Bhagavatam. It's pious and time thing. We have to become the root of Krishna. We have to become free of material attachment, material perception, material affection. Freed of it. It's very important. We have to hear from the right source. Otherwise, you read all this stuff from these various gurus who come around here even, and things from different groups. It's all misleading. It's giving us the wrong understanding of who Krishna is. There are some who do all sorts of things nowadays to attract attention, and sometimes the devotees go for it. They go, they listen, they hear, they read, they buy. We never understand Krishna or we are in our society. She may become materially a little bit motive goodness or something, but nothing to do with love of God or love of Krishna. And that's here with the root of Krishna. One whose only motive is to please Krishna. Not to become Krishna. Not to get rid of Krishna. This is Babushi, it's the medicine. You hear the prophet Uttama Shloka Vinayana about it. You hear these verses from Krishna book, from Bhagavatam. This is the medicine which cures us, Baba Oshiki. Baba is this material entanglement, Baba O, the entanglement of birth and death, all the attachments we have. Oshiki is the medicine to cure that. But we have to hear attentively. We have to hear from the right source and hear attentively. And then, by the mercy of Krishna, we understand Krishna's presence there. Otherwise, we're just seeing it through our own eyes.